Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
For the first time since week six, the Jaguars are winners today. Final score 38-17 over the division rival Tennessee Titans. Welcome into Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. We'll get to Doug Marrone just outside of the locker room. The first word with the interim head coach, Jeff Lagerman, is standing by. Plenty to get to today. The Jaguars get it done. Solid offense throughout. Defense made plays when they needed to. They returned the favor from week eight on Thursday Night Football. Fred, Merry Christmas to you.
It is indeed a Merry Christmas. Man, Coach Marrone, he said, adversity, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. And those guys, they went out there and picked it up. They played like nobody's feeling sorry for them. A lot of great plays, a lot of energy, a lot of good everything. Man, it must be the spirit.
Maybe it is.
What is it?
It's a holiday season, I guess.
It's something.
When you change coaches, it can go one of two ways sometimes, especially this late in the season, right? You can pack it in, you've got nothing to play for,
right.
Or you can kind of rally around the fact that, hey, it was our poor play that probably led to the coach
right.
getting fired. So they obviously responded in a positive fashion today.
Yeah, I think Blake, he made those comments that he felt that the players didn't play well enough, which was the reason, you know, Gus was fired. And the guys rallied, man. Blake went out there. He had his best. That was his best performance
best
as a pro.
Best game as a pro. Right.
As a pro. And it's the first game that he won plus 300 yards.
No
passing.
Doubt.
So it was an amazing day. It was great to watch that.
And it's from the beginning of the game.
Second
best rating in a quarter in his career.
Mm-hmm.
In the first quarter of the game.
Yeah, very
can't
great
start.
Start.
Better than that.
The start was amazing. Went down, scored. The defense went up, stopped him. This is a great game. That's what football should be.
Should be a lot of game balls going out today, right? Chris Ivory's got to get one, though. The guy ran really hard. I thought he set the tone until the hamstring flared up, catching the ball out of the backfield. And he had even more of a workload than he probably anticipated with T.J. Yeldon going down so early.
Right. No, I agree. He ran hard. I mean, you got to set the tone, and that's what he did. The offensive line, that group, man, he's got to get those guys credit. I think they came out to play. You know, that left guard position. My grandmother probably played left guard this year. So many guys in and out. I mean, those guys, they're still fighting. They just kept fighting, and they did well today.
Pass rush got home today, too, when they needed to. Dante Fowler with a nice sack on Mariota.
Right.
Actually knocked Mariota out of the game. Sheldon Day's sack did a little earlier. So a handful of sacks today and a group that had struggled to find some consistency this year.
Right. For me, it was rookie day. I mean, Fowler, even though he's not a rookie, but missing last year, the sack, Ngakoue, sack, Day, sack, Ramsey, pick six. The investment paying dividends.
We talked about Ramsey's game last week. I'm anxious to see his official statistics today because what a day he had today. It might have been even better, more impactful than last week, certainly with a pick six.
This is true. I'm upstairs, I've been thinking for the last 30 minutes. Who is going to be the player of the game? This is a tough one by far. The toughest one by
it's
far.
Not, and in a good way, right?
In a great way.
There have been a few games where we've had no good candidates, and this one would probably have too many good candidates.
Right. And Ramsey, man, I mean, that investment, that kid's special. He is special. He's all over the field.
Let's go outside the Jags locker room. Jeff Lagerman has the first word with interim head coach Doug Marrone. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, DJP. Doug, it's been a long time since the fans in Jacksonville have been able to celebrate a regular season victory, 376 days, and it had to feel good for that and also other reasons as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm happy for, obviously, the players. You know, obviously, it was a tough situation. You know, and there's a sense of, you know, Coach Bradley, what he's instilled in his team, and then being able to, you know, put it all together. I think, you know, for the fans, I was happy for them. They've endured us not playing well, and I've been a part of that. I was happy to see that they were able to, you know, cheer and be happy and feel good, you know, about their team as well as, you know, the organization, especially during the holidays. You know, we'll be able to enjoy this, and it's about what this team can do, you know, when they put everything together, and, you know, they have to learn from it. There are things in that game that we can learn from, and we got to continue to get better, and we still have one more left, and we're looking to finish strong.
Offensively, the performance of Blake Bortles might be his best game yet. Came out efficient, protected the football, even in a situation where he didn't have both running backs available throughout the course of the game.
It was tough. I think it started off early in the week. You know, we talked about it. We had some injuries at tight end. You know, we really had only the two tight ends up. We knew going in we were going to have to play this game at 11 early in the week, and we pretty much played the game at 11. Then all of a sudden, you know, we had some injuries at the running back, and I think people really stepped up. And I think, you know, Blake didn't miss a beat. He didn't worry about who was in, who was not in. I thought the receivers did a nice job. We felt that, you know, we had a pretty good matchup in that standpoint, you know, being able to get behind them, make plays. We, you know, I know some of those screens, but that was a big part of it. We had the big one. We thought that we can expose the linebackers and get the deep coverage back there and hit the screen and really turn those short passes into long runs. You know, we missed on a couple. They did a nice job, but you know Blake played a very good game, and you know, like I said before, it's, you know, shows you what he has the capability of doing, and we just really, in my opinion, have just, you know, touched on that foundation.
Defensively, in the second half, an opportunity. The turnover happens, the fumble by Chris Ivory. The defense responds, holds them to a field goal. Titans score again later, and all of a sudden they have a pick six, dictating the tempo of the game.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple of things that were important going into the game. You know, we talked to our defense about, you know, this average per rush that Tennessee has had. If they were over 4.5 per rush, I mean, their odds of winning the football game were in the 90s. So, you know, that was a big challenge for our defense, especially with the two backs that they have and a physical offensive line. You know, so for us at the end of the day, we also saw you can hold them under 4.0 yards per carry. You know, they haven't won a game all year. So I think, you know, let's start up front first. They did a great job early on. They got to our edge a little bit. We missed our edges. So we made some adjustments at halftime. We were able to correct that. We knew they were going to try to go over the top on us. They threw some, you know, there's some long foul balls in there. But we were trying to force them to go on the outside, which they did. I think they completed some of those footballs, but we had people in possession. I think they made some good plays. So from that standpoint, it was good. Coming out there on a quick turnaround, the mindset of the players was outstanding. That was probably one of the big points of the game, the defense coming out there, holding them in that position. And then I'll tell you another play that will get overlooked in the game is our punter early on in the game was able to flip the field. And that was a big thing with field position, you know, on this Tennessee team.
Well, congratulations and Merry Christmas and enjoy it.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, Jeff.
Doug Marrone, after the Jaguars win it 38-17, will come back. Jeff Lagerman is inside the Jags locker room. That's a happy place today. A Christmas Eve win snaps a 9-game losing streak. Final score 38-17, the Jags over the Titans. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Attention athletes, I'm Mindy Black, dietitian for the Jacksonville Jaguars, with a tip on how to take your game to the next level. Make Zach Snacks a part of your game plan. Omega-3s are essential for optimal brain function and recovery. If you need to increase your awareness and focus during practice and games, then you need Zach Snacks. It's a tasty way to get your omega-3s. Research tested and approved, Zach Snacks are an official snack of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So snack the way the pros snack. Find us at MyZachSnacks.com.
Did you know each year more than 46,000 people die from a drug overdose? That's more than from car accidents or gun violence. Half of those 46,000 deaths are related to opioid abuse. Smart Pharmacy has alternative non-narcotic solutions for pain therapy. They offer customized topical pain creams to be applied directly to the site where you are experiencing pain. Ask your physician about Smart Pharmacy's pain therapy alternatives or visit smartpharmacy.com, the official pharmacy of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL.
I'm sorry, I want to open this thing.
You know, we had a meeting here, this group here. You know, some of you guys were there, some of you guys weren't, where I was able to at least express my feelings about the professionalism and how you've handled things. You know, I call upon that again.
You know, make no mistake about it. You know, this game wasn't about me leading this football team out there. That's not the story at all. I hope that we understand that. Gus Bradley was a major part, you know, of what we did today. I think that it just goes to show, you know, we weren't able to make some of the plays today in the past that helped us to win this game today. But, you know, when you go in that locker room, you know, it's not my team. You know, it's Gus's team. And, you know, I'm going to do the best job I can, you know, to get this team ready. I thought that going into the game, we had some keys, both defensively, offensively, and special teams. You know, we'll start with defense first. One of the challenges for us was their running game with Murray and Henry. You know, they've been a team that if they've been averaging over 4.5 yards a rush, they've been you know, obviously winning a high percentage. I don't know the exact amount, but about 90% of their games. If they were held between 4.0 and 4.5, they were about 500, you know, 2-2, something of that. But if they were held under 4.0 yards per carry, they were 0-3. I think defensively it's either going to be 2.9 or 3.0. We knew that they were going to challenge us going over the top. We saw that a lot. We knew that we wanted them to throw to the sides. We were okay with that. I thought they had some completions there, but they were tight windows. They were tough completions and good plays by their players. We knew that in the red zone, they were going to go. We knew that Walker was a big part of the game in the red zone. So we wanted to make sure that we had him. Obviously, he scored a touchdown, which is disappointing from my standpoint. But I think that defensively, we did a heck of a job. Jalen made a great play on a ball. He's been playing at a high level. You know, Prince, for some reason, it looked like they were going after him a little bit. He came up big in being able to win those battles. Thought the D-line played well, obviously stopping the run. I think that's where we're set on defense. I think as far as the game goes, when you look at, you know, hey, what are some situations in the game? What were some game changers? Obviously, the defense goes on a short field and holds them at that point. That was a big, big stop for our defense. It's a very difficult situation to be in. It's a mentality that you have to work on. I thought our guys really stepped up and did a heck of a job. Then we go to the offensive side of the ball. You know, we're working on running the ball. We ran the ball early and had some good plays. And then all of a sudden, they started doing a good job of stringing some things out. We had some minus plays, things of that nature. And that got us out of sync. Thought you saw today Blake play an outstanding game. He really did. It's a credit to him. We knew early in the week we only had two tight ends that were going to be active. So we pretty much played this game in mostly a three-receiver set the whole game. So I thought our coaches and our players did a good job of that. We went in there thinking that we had a pretty good matchup with our receivers. We knew that we wanted to take shots down the field. We knew we wanted to get them matched up one-on-one. I think our receivers, obviously we lost some battles. We could have, you know, had a touchdown early on. We didn't make that play. We thought that we were able to take advantage of if we ran our receivers down the field and they were conscious of playing over the top, you know, try to run some intermediate stuff, whether it's a screen and take a screen for a big long run. You know, we had the one. Missed out on a couple, but that was the thought process going in. So from an offensive standpoint, we were able to do a good job of the things that we wanted to accomplish. In other words, what we had to do to win the game. There's obviously some things that we can do a better job of. You know, you go up by, you know, 12. You don't want to be up by 12. You want to be up by two touchdowns. You know, you're very greedy. I'm very greedy as far as wanting to go up by two scores in those situations and not keep it under a two-touchdown game. I think when you talk about special teams, I think a play that will probably get overlooked when you go across the game. You know, Jason Myers did what we wanted to do. We didn't want them to have any returns. We wanted to make sure that we're able to win the field position battle, which is something that when they've done that, they've had a high percentage chance of winning the game. I don't know. I haven't seen the stats if we won that or not, but a big play in the game was when our punter was able to flip the field, you know, with that punt. I thought really, really helped us out as far as some of the field position battle. So, again, I appreciate everyone's time. I'm going to answer questions, and I appreciate your professionalism on it. So, Tad, if Tad doesn't have anything else to say, okay, we'll open this thing up. Sure. we'll give you the thought process of what was going into it. Was on the headset, you know, we weren't sure if they were going to be in their base personnel or their nickel or their dime, because we said that they've had, you know, numerous packages. So we knew that that was part of the game plan when we were able to get them in there. We were hoping that they went to their sub packages, knowing that they do play more man coverage out of those sub packages. So now we have a way to get out of that play if they're not in man coverage. So as soon as they went to man coverage, we know that play is alert, and we ran that play. You're talking about the play where Marquise actually threw a touchdown pass? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think when you get in a rhythm, you know, you want to stay in that rhythm. That's probably a better question for him to answer, is how he felt. I know that when there was about 6 minutes left before we scored that touchdown, there was a thought process going in of, hey, should we slow this thing down a little bit right here? But my philosophy is I wanted to keep the offense in rhythm, because there was still enough time possession-wise for them to gain an advantage and maybe win the game. So I wanted to make sure that we scored in that position. But we had conversations about that on the offensive headset.
Doug, ahead after the game, you didn't really show much emotion. You calmly shook the other coach's hand and you walked up the field.
Yeah.
Inside, what were you feeling?
I can tell you this. One, if there's an opportunity to be happy despite the situation, the first thought process, the first person that went through my mind was obviously Gus and his family. The second process that went through my mind were the fans. You know, when you're sitting there in the third and fourth quarter, and we really haven't given them a lot to cheer about, but I think at the end of the day, you know, the holidays are around. We all don't, you know, sometimes you sit in this room and you think to yourself, you know, I really don't feel comfortable telling anyone, you know, that I'm a Jacksonville fan because of what we all did. We're all part of that. But to be able to hear the crowd, see a smile on their face, you know, maybe when tomorrow morning with the holidays coming up, maybe, hey, you know what, they feel a little bit better than they've been feeling. I think that's important. I think as far as – and I take that same approach for our players, for our assistant coaches, for our organization as a whole has been through a lot. I think people, you know, miss that. You know, there are people in this building that work extremely hard that really don't control the outcome of the game, but they're in it 110% with us. I think, you know, it's a great challenge for the people in this room, because you might have to change your style, you know, of what you're going to write about. But I really think about those people that have gone through this, you know, very difficult season, very difficult situation. I don't really get that excited. I'm extremely excited during the week and preparing the team. I'm extremely excited, heavily involved in what's going on in all three phases. But at the end of the day, I think I'm usually just so exhausted, you know, playing the game through my mind that my wife can probably better answer that question.
How much did Corey Grant get a crash course on protections and stuff when he was going out?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it was a crash course. We had him prepared. Obviously, our coaches make sure that people are prepared. It was a crash course as far as throwing him in there and saying, okay, can he hold up in it? You know, knowing that the different packages. And that was a difficult team. We talked about this during the week. You know, Coach LeBeau does an outstanding job on packages and pressure packages. So, you know, for us to stand up there and go, and I think, you know, one of the things that people don't really see is Blake being able to stand there in the pocket, you know, take the hits and be able to throw the football. That's something that I think we all know, but sometimes we don't really appreciate. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I just think in general. But, you know, that's something that I've appreciated today. He hung in there pretty good. I think level of focus maybe from the player. I think you got to ask the players that. I mean, every game we go in with that type of attitude, you know, to try to do that. You know, we got into a good rhythm. We got off to a good start, and you know, you always want to start fast, and I think that, you know, contributes to the game and, you know, having to play with a lead throughout the game, and that's an important thing in this league. The other thing is the players didn't know this. I talked to the coordinators about this, but, you know, if Tennessee had a lead after the first quarter, you're pretty much not going to beat them. So to be able to, you know, get up first and get a little bit of a lead and keep that behind with a big point in the game. How come no one here is excited? I mean, you guys, there's no smiles on anyone's faces.
You had three rookies make big plays on defense. You had plenty of explosive plays. How much did this show off the talent of this roster actually has?
I talked to the players about that the night before. I think that, you know, we have to be careful as players and coaches when people are talking about talent and potential. A lot of times what that means is that you haven't created any results yet. And I think today you saw the players going out there and have some results.
I understand that you don't want to talk the coach situation, and I get it, okay?
Sure.
But how did you feel as a head coach being able to go ahead and do this again since it's been a while? Did you feel energized being on the sidelines leading this football team?
I probably felt, you know, my wife asked me the same question. How you feeling? I said, I feel great. I really do. I feel alive in practice. I feel not that, you know, I wasn't before in my other position. I feel comfortable. I've been a head coach for 6 years, you know, 4 in college and 2 in the NFL. So, you know, for me, I don't want to say it's like riding a bike because that would lessen that position as the head coach. So I'm not going to go there. But I felt great. I thought the communication was outstanding. Again, the challenge for me was the communication with defense and the communication with game management, the communication with special teams, trying to get the coaches up to speed on how I communicate and how I want to run a game. I thought they were great.
Doug, you had a chance again today to work with Nathaniel, who you worked with in Buffalo as the offensive coordinator, Coach Dan Field. How much of the play calling when you worked with him were like, okay, I think this is going to work, and this team should reject that? And was it the same thing again working with Nathaniel? Because it seemed like everything clicked.
Nothing's ever the same when you work with that cat. I'm just telling you now, okay? But I will say this. You know, it's a little bit different for me. I don't get involved heavily in the small details of the game planning, but kind of the things that I said before when I came up here, hey, this is what we have to do. I don't think they match up with us well. We have to go ahead and throw the football. Okay, we may throw a little bit more, you know, than what we did before. So for me, you know, I sit there and I talk to, obviously, Todd Walsh about the things I told you about the rushing, Delanie Walker in the red zone, you know, how they're like 6-2 when he has, or 6-1 if he has over 50 yards receiving, if he's under 50 yards receiving, you know, things like that. So basically I sit down in all three phases, tell him, you know, this is what we have to stop. This is what we have to do. And then I kind of rely on the coordinators to go ahead and make that run. Then during the week, I just sit there and make sure, hey, what are we doing here? Make sure we have these edges. You know, early on, they got to our edges a little bit. We didn't have the edges closed well enough. You know, made an adjustment, made sure everyone knew what they were doing, and then we shut that down. So credit to the defensive staff. This may be the longest one I've done, though. But go ahead. Great question for them. You know, I just go across and just try to be, you know, show leadership, you know, to the assistant coaches and players and get them to understand that you have to put the work in during the week, you know, to get the results you want on Sunday. And those aren't guaranteed either.
How are you – were you pleased with the play of your unit, or what's been your unit the entire year, the offensive line today?
Yeah, I don't watch it as that, you know, in this mode. It's like if I came up here after the game, you know, and I was the offensive line coach and you asked me about receivers, I watch everything as a whole in my mind. So, you know, it's very difficult to tell. I think, you know, part of the conversation, you know, a good piece would be maybe Benton should have been the head offensive line coach and Marone should have been his assistant. I think, you know, I went through a tough time. Early on, the second game in Buffalo, one of my good friends passed away the night before, Rob Edson, who was an assistant AD at Syracuse. And when I was a head coach at Syracuse, he would always be the one in the locker room after the game sitting with me, and we'd talk about the game, and he would always drive me back to Manly Fieldhouse. And he passed away the week we played Carolina. It was a very difficult game. I don't know if we won in overtime or won it, you know, in the last drive type thing. We went down the field and scored. That game to me really meant a lot. It was important. I think it's not as extreme in this game, but to have spoken to Gus during the week and his enthusiasm and his excitement, you know, for the team in a very, very difficult situation, I would say out of all the wins, this is probably the number two because of that and his support and what he wanted, the picture in his mind of what he wanted for these players to come together and these assistant coaches. So I would probably put it in that category. All right, I appreciate it, guys. Hey, happy holidays to everybody.
Yep.
Win over the Tennessee Titans in Week 16. The Jags improved to 3-12 and snap a 9-game losing skid and might have knocked the Titans out of their playoff hopes. If the Texans win today, the Texans would be the AFC South champions this afternoon. Here are the highlights from today's game. We'll pick the Bud Light play of the game as well. The Jaguars got going quick. Opening drive, 8 plays, 75 yards, capped off with a Bortles to Marquise Lee touchdown.
Play fake this time. Blake throws toward the end zone. Wants Marquise Lee. Leaping attempt by Marquise Lee near the goal line. Touchdown! Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Yeah. No, this was just by choice. You know, it was good to kind of get in a rhythm early, and I think really it kind of started with the first play, getting A-Rob involved early, picking up 6 or 7 yards on the first play, whatever that was, and then kind of just getting rolling, and we found a groove. It felt good the whole game. I thought Nathaniel did a really good job putting the plan together and then calling plays, and the guys just kind of rolled with it, and we were able to execute for a while. Yeah, definitely. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, it was kind of like, you know, the 2 or 3 inches we seemed to be missing on all season kind of came together today. We were able to hit. He made some unbelievable plays, had some unbelievable releases at the line to get open and get off of press coverage and did a really good job. So it felt good for him. You know, I was really excited for him to have a big day. You know, I think it was definitely tough. You know, it was a lot of guys here that have never been through a coaching change. I know I haven't, you know, but I think as tough as it was, you know, for everybody to go through what we went through, I think Doug stepping in, you know, it did a really good job of kind of bringing a sense of calmness, I guess, to the team and kind of laying out what our objectives were and how we were going to accomplish them. I thought he did a really good job in a tough situation.
It seemed like you played a lot looser this game than you have in a long time. Was there a different message this week?
No, you know, not necessarily. I think it was, you know, from the first play, it was let's be efficient. That was kind of our thing this week was let's be efficient. Let's take the completions, you know, and when they give us a shot, let's take it when we can, you know. So I think we were able to do that, you know, and I thought for the most part we were pretty efficient throughout the game. Yeah, unbelievable throw by Marquise. It's kind of funny. We actually called that play like 5 times and never got the look. And then finally that one down there, we ended up getting the look. To run it, you know, and Marquise did an unbelievable job. He was fired up. You know, his eyes got all big in the huddle when I called it. So it was cool, you know, for him. I know that's the first, I think it's the first pass he's ever thrown. It's the first one I've ever caught. So it was cool. It was cool to have that, you know, at the end of the game. No, you know, I think you would have to go back to Pop Warner, I guess, maybe, pre-high school. There could have been something there. I don't know, though. That's definitely the first one that's ever meant anything.
What did Doug say before that play? He called you over to the sideline.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We were talking about it, and Nathaniel, you know, said, you know, I think we got a chance here. Let's go for it. Because we knew even if we didn't get the look we wanted, we still could check to a good play. You know, we had done that all game. So he called it, and, you know, it was kind of funny because Doug asked, you know, is that the touchdown pass to Blake? And, you know, Nathaniel said, yeah, that's what we're going with. So it was cool to run that. And then, you know, like I said, we got the look we wanted and we were able to do it. Marquise did a really good job.
Why do you think you were able to excel so much in 11 personnel this week?
Well, I don't think we didn't ever have a choice with our tight end situation. So it was kind of from the beginning of the week, we were going to have to stay in 11 with some tight ends banged up. And I thought we did a good job. You know, went through a rough patch there. Kind of in the middle of the game and running the ball because they, you know, they came out, played nickel, and then went to base. So we struggled with that a little bit with their bigs out there and 11 personnel. And then kind of found creative ways to run the ball. And the offensive line did a really good job, you know, up front kind of creating holes and moving some guys around.
Mark, you said you had that play in for 6 or 7 weeks. How often did you run it?
We ran it every week. It was by far my favorite play every single week of practice. You know, I think for as long as it's been in, we kind of go through our red zone and talk about plays with Nate, and every single week it's my number one play. And we finally got it called in week 16, so it's a cool feeling.
First time that you've been a starting quarterback that you've had a 10-point lead at the end of the first quarter. Not that I'm going to ask you how strange it felt, but just to know that you got off to that kind of start today.
Yeah.
You know that it was just rolling from that
point. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think more so it was kind of, you know, similar to last week. It's, you know, we got a lead. You know, let's not act like this is the first time we've been here. You know, let's find ways to continue to score. You know, want to score touchdowns, but I think we did a good job getting down the field, kicking some field goals. Jason did a good job. But, you know, I think just proud of the guys to kind of keeping the foot on the gas pedal. You know, something we haven't really shown a whole lot, and we were able to do that today.
It looked like you guys were just having fun out there on offense.
Yeah, and guys enjoyed it. You know, they had a blast. You know, unbelievably proud of that locker room and kind of handling everything that's gone on this week and really this whole season. To come out and play, you know, I think it speaks to the character of the team and the guys in that locker room. To play that kind of inspired football is fun to see. You know, guys flying around, having a good time, the fans into it. You know, that stuff doesn't happen a whole lot when you're 2-12. So I think to be able to see that is special.
How important was it for you to get this win at Everbank?
I think it was huge. You know, it's not been the season that anybody's wanted or expected, but I think we had one more chance to come in here and play in the divisional opponent at home, you know, on Christmas Eve for the last time until next season. So I think it was really cool to kind of to win in front of our home crowd and in front of the, you know, the city of Jacksonville and for this organization. I think it was a big one.
We'll finish up right here on the front.
With the offense, they didn't take the foot off the gas pedal. They let you guys play. Even when it got close, 25-17 in the fourth quarter, they let you guys keep going and stay aggressive. What kind of confidence does that give you guys as a group?
You know, I think it's huge. You know, I think because, you know, kind of a similar situation last week. Go up early and you know, you kind of talk about it. But I think to be able to go out there and do it this week, you know, I think it helped out a little bit. Unfortunately, obviously losing. But I think to go through that last week, being up and giving it away, I think helped out. I think guys kind of took note of that and, you know, made sure that it didn't happen again when we got a lead this week. You know, it went up 10-0, and it was kind of every time we got in the huddle to start a series, it was let's go score, let's continue to put up points and not leave this up to, you know, the defense to make a stop. You know, they played unbelievable, but let's go finish this on our own.
Like Coach Marone talked about how this is still Gus Bradley's team and he just had a co-captaining the ship. What would you like to say right now,
yeah, you know, I think, you know, Gus Bradley's obviously an unbelievable man. You know, he brought everybody that's in this building here for one reason or another. And I think, you know, I speak for everybody in the locker room, you know, on the gratitude and appreciation that we have for Gus Bradley. And as long as this team's here and assembled, we'll always in some way play for Gus Bradley. Thank you.
Fantasy motif. He's got the Santa motif. He's got the little outer space action going. He's got a little everything for you.
You can do that when you win.
Hey,
you play well, right?
He found his unicorn.
Do you think he had something different to wear in case they didn't win?
That's a great question. Maybe not.
David Garrard's asking, where's the fedora?
Yeah,
I remember
right.
That.
That's a good point.
Fedora.
Let's get to the Everbank final stats check. Blake Bortles had a big hand in that today. But first, the team statistics. First downs, Jaguars led the way 25-19. Jags were 4 of 12 on third downs today. Titans 5 of 14. Total yardage, the Jags outgained total net yardage today. Outgained the Titans 415 to 263. 84 rushing yards for the Jags, 58 for the Titans. A really good running team. DeMarco Murray's going to the Pro Bowl. Not off today's performance. 331 through the air for the Jags, 205 for the Tennessee Titans. Penalties, 4 for 45 for the Jaguars, 6 for 49 for Tennessee. A time of possession, 32-31 in favor of Jacksonville. And turnovers, 1 for each side today, so an even turnover margin in this game. But, boy, the Jags offense came to play, and this was Blake Bortles' football game.
Yeah, it was. He was 26 out of 38 passing, 325, as we've mentioned many times, first 300-yard game in victory, averaged 8.6 yards per attempt with the one touchdown pass to Lee. Lee returned the favor. He was 1-for-1 passing for a 20-yard touchdown to Blake Bortles, and Lee had the perfect 158.3 quarterback rating. Marcus Mariota, only 8 of 20 today for 99 yards, and did throw the one touchdown to Rishard Matthews. Castle came in, was 13-24 for a 124 with a scoring toss of his own. Chris Ivory on the ground, 14 carries for 48 yards. Corey Grant chipped in with 9 for 27. You mentioned JP. DeMarco Murray got shut down today, 14 for 42. Derrick Henry, not really a factor, 4 for 13 on the ground. For the Jags through the air, it was Allen Robinson hauling in 9 passes for 147 yards today. Ivory did some damage here as well. Yeah. 4 catches for 69 yards, including a long of 37. Each of those guys had a long of 37 today. Brian Walters contributed with 5 for 45. Mentioned Lee throwing the touchdown. He caught 3 for 37, including that scoring toss from Bortles. Bortles, 1 catch, 20 yards on the day. Tyjae Sharp led the way, and this tells you how well the Jags defense played. Tyjae Sharp and Harry Douglas both tied for the leading yardage total for the Titans with only 48 yards. Ooh. Through the air. Defensively, Paul Posluszny, 7 solo tackles, couple of assists there. Jonathan Cyprian, 6 total tackles, including 4 solo sacks for Dante Fowler Jr., Sheldon Day, and Yannick Ngakoue. Of course, the pick 6 for Jalen Ramsey today, and I'm looking at his 4 more pass breakups to go with the 5 he had last week. So 9 in a 2-game span is absolutely absurd to break up that many passes. And had another one overruled, Fred, because he broke up the one in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And that was the one, I think, where Day had the penalty on it, right?
Right. Yep.
So could have had 5 in back-to-back weeks.
Pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
I don't care what if you're a 5-10-year vet or a rookie. That's pretty awesome, man.
But he talks it and he brings it. He backs it up. I told him, I said, keep it going.
Hey,
keep it going.
Great game. Don't settle. He could have had 2 or 3 picks today. So, you know,
that's
what?
True.
Keep getting your hands on the ball, but hold on to that football as well, and really big things to come for him.
Fred, you said you told him?
Well, not that he was not going to do it anyway, but, you know, just a little reminder. I love it. I love the energy. I love how he brings it. The media, you know, I've seen where a few times they were trying to beat him up. Like, you're just a rookie. Stop talking so much. But that's been his game. You don't want to change. I told him don't change. So you keep bringing it that way. Stay fiery, passionate. A lot of good things are going to happen.
As long as you can bring the
wood
on,
keep doing it
during the game.
Bring the wood is all good.
That's no doubt about that.
Bring the wood. It's all good. There's a new one for us.
Let's see if this is a precursor to the player of the game voting. That's coming up when we return. Final score, 38-17. The Jaguars win it and snap a 9-game losing skid. This is Jaguars post-game on Jaguars Radio.
Tradition. For 135 years, Navy Mutual has served current and former military members and their families across the great state of Florida and around the world with low-cost life insurance. So we're proud to announce a new tradition, sponsoring the Jacksonville Jaguars. For life insurance and annuity products with no fine print or military service restrictions, visit NavyMutual.org. Navy Mutual, insuring those who serve.
Bowden Eye is the only center of excellence for cataract and refractive procedures in North Florida, specializing in laser cataract surgery. Why trust your vision to anyone else? Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused with 4 locations in Jacksonville. Dry eye syndrome is very common with today's lifestyles and is many times misdiagnosed. A LipoFlow treatment can change your life in 12 minutes. Visit Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused with 4 locations in Jacksonville.
Payday is an important day for most of us. But then you get hurt on the job and you miss a paycheck. Then you miss another one. Then you learn there's a dispute over your workers' comp benefits. That's when you call me, Eddie Farah. I don't like it when someone gets hurt and the company they've been loyal to messes up an important event like payday. It's your money. I hope you fight for it. Call me at 396-5555. Farah and Farah, protecting you and your family. Jacksonville.
When you shop at Stein Mart, you may feel like yelling, touchdown, and doing your very own end zone dance. That's because Stein Mart offers amazing designer brands and all the latest trends up to 60% off department store prices every day. We're not keeping score, but we're pretty sure you win with every visit and every purchase. With 6 locations right here in Jacksonville, Stein Mart is supported by a very loyal fan base. We're also a proud sponsor of the Jaguars Women's Club. So you could say we're fans of the fans. Go Jags!
J. Jaguars postgame rolls along after a Jaguars win over the Tennessee Titans. 38-17 the final. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, glad you're with us today. This is only the third time this season that we've been able to pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game after a win. Now, the previous two times, we weren't all together in the same room. Right. Remember, the first win was in London. Fred, you and I were over there. Mm-hmm. You guys were here, Mike. And then in Chicago, you were on the phone line, Fred. Right. So it's the first time in a room as a collective unit we'll be able to pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game in a win today. I get a vote. Mike, you get a vote. Fred, you get a vote and a half. There are plenty of candidates today. Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Jalen Ramsey. You could go defensive line if
Marquise
you wanted
Lee.
To. Marquise Lee had a touchdown pass and a catch. Okay, who wants to go first?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I'll go. We're all going the same way here. Come on. I could try to manufacture some drama. I'll go first. I'll go with Blake.
I think you just tried to manufacture
there's
a little
no drama.
Drama.
There's no drama here, right? I mean, 26-38, 325. First time Blake Bortles has gone over 300 yards passing in victory. Threw a touchdown. Caught a touchdown. Quarterback rating over 100. Didn't really flirt with turning the ball over today. Led them with a bunch of his skill position guys out. And quarterback gets my vote. Fred?
I can't argue with you. Well, I can, but I mean,
you choose not to.
I just want to touch on what Ramsey did a little bit.
Go for
it. I mean, the four tackles, four pass breakups, plus the other one that was nullified, I guess, by penalty. Mm-hmm. He had an interception and a touchdown by a defensive guy.
Vote for Ramsey. Put it all
you
on
know,
JP.
Hey, with all that being said, I'm going to go with the quarterback. He's a leader, man. He fought through a lot of adversity. He has to carry everything on his shoulder the entire season, and that he could have went and laid down. He made a comment early in the week and said he feels that the players are responsible why Gus isn't here. And he went out there and he played, and, I mean, he played great. And, again, I think this is his best performance as a pro. Through all the adversity, he persevered, and he got it done in a great performance. So my vote is with Bortles.
Let's make it unanimous then. Blake Bortles today, 26 of 38, 325 yards passing, a touchdown passing, a touchdown receiving, and a 103.5 rating.
Very nice.
The fifth best rating day of his career. Blake Bortles is the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. Now, as you've mentioned, Fred, there are some guys that could get honorable mention. Jalen Ramsey's certainly one of those. Allen Robinson today, I think, stepped up, and he's been through some adversity here the last few weeks. 12 targets. 9 catches for 147 yards.
Yeah, big day for A-Rob. He catching everything that went his way. Early in the season, had a few struggles with a few drops here and there. But he made some great catches. One of the adjustment, back shoulder adjustments, one hand that he brought down on our sideline. I mean, he had a solid day. So, honorable mention, you know, he's a guy who could have gotten a vote any other game. But today, the quarterback was spectacular.
Yeah, I thought A-Rob got more separation than we've seen him get today, than he has been typically this year.
Why was that?
He's winning at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if it's I do want to give him credit. Just hadn't seen it a whole lot. That way they've been ending up throwing the ball back shoulder a lot. But I don't know if it's more so A-Rob or the fact that the Titans secondary has just been atrocious. Yeah.
And Jason McCourty was out today too.
Right, and
that's
McCourty, right,
the best corner. Right. So you know,
take advantage.
But you have to take advantage. Anybody can be in it. You got to recognize. You see blood in the water. You got to attack. So he had a solid day today.
Marquise Lee, another 3 for 37, and the touchdown early, and then the touchdown pass a little later. What's better, the catch or the pass?
Yeah, I think for Marquise, just the being able to pass it and get it there, because I probably would have thrown a duck or maybe out of bounds or low.
Oh, you don't have touch?
No.
Oh.
I've never thrown a tailback pass.
Really? Ever?
In the history of ever.
I mean, you just take it 90 yards to the house. Why would
you
throw it?
That's much easier for me.
Yeah.
That was a lot easier for me. We tried a few in practice, but I was never called. Yeah, they didn't trust me.
or they really trusted you running the football.
Just run.
Yeah, I mean, keep it simple, Freddie. You just hold on to the pill. But I think the pass is for the receiver. The pass is great. But Blake said it was just he didn't have anything to do. No, you got to catch the ball.
That's right.
Yeah, he could have relaxed and dropped it. So
you got to haul it in, and he did. And the Jaguars got it done today, 38-17. The final player of the game today for the Jaguars Radio Network is Blake Bortles, Jaguars quarterback, with a huge day here in Week 16. The Baptist Health Injury Report is coming up. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Did you know each year more than 46,000 people die from a drug overdose? That's more than from car accidents or gun violence. Half of those 46,000 deaths are related to opioid abuse. Smart Pharmacy has alternative non-narcotic solutions for pain therapy. They offer customized topical pain creams to be applied directly to the site where you are experiencing pain. Ask your physician about Smart Pharmacy's pain therapy alternatives or visit smartpharmacy.com, the official pharmacy of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Here's why our members say they choose ByStar Credit Union.
Here, there's a friendly face at the front desk. There's a friendly face at the back desk.
Every time I come here, it's just open arms and somebody's here to help.
That's a ByStar thing, for sure.
Look into ByStar. Look at becoming a member if you're not already a member. They never forget that it is your money.
To join, visit any branch or ByStarCU.org. At ByStar, we never forget that it's your money. Federally insured by NCUA. All new accounts subject to approval.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Jaguars fans, Republic Services is now hiring CDL drivers in Duval and St. John's counties. With Republic Services, new drivers receive a $1,500 sign-on bonus and competitive benefits. Over 50% of managers in Northeast Florida started their careers as drivers. You can build your career too. Join the Republic Services team and make a positive impact on your community and the environment today. Visit republicservices.jobs for more information and to apply. Republic Services is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wear the star. Drive your career.
Hi, folks. Frank Brandy here for the best barbecue in town. That's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's barbecue at six different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's barbecue. If you want great barbecue, you want Bono's. And remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono's.
Jaguars postgame continues. A 38-17 final. The Jaguars improved to 3-12 with a win over the Tennessee Titans. Snap a nine-game losing skid in the process. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. The injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. T.J. Yeldon left the game with an ankle injury. Didn't look pretty, and he did not return to the ball game. We'll see moving forward how that does going into Week 17. And then also in the backfield, Chris Ivory on that long run where he appeared to let up, maybe to hold the football. That's not him, though. There had to be something wrong, and apparently it was a hamstring injury. Rick Ballew was reporting on the sideline. They were working on that. So, Fred, that's I'm keeping score here. That's the top two running backs hurt today. That's not good.
Yeah, pretty thin at the position now, very thin. But, you know, obviously they got one more game, thank God. So they just got to find a way to put somebody in there and get it done next week. That's if the hamstring doesn't feel better. Yeldon may be a long shot.
Yeah, we'll see. Week 17 in Indianapolis. That's really the only true major ones for the Jaguars right that we saw today. Marcus Mariota, a fractured fibula, I believe, and certainly he's done for this season and beyond, which who knows, if the Titans can sneak in there, then Castle would be the quarterback in the playoffs. Yeah, that's not what they expected.
This sucks. I hate to see especially young guys who got a lot of upside and potential get injured like that. I would want to see what the Titans would do with him there, being he's the guy. But you feel bad for those guys, man. It's part of the game, though.
They just ran into three teams playing really good defense the last few weeks. Even though they were able to get some wins, Mariota, you know, he was on a roll for about a six-week period and kind of cooled off for the last few weeks. But obviously, you want him in there if you're Tennessee. But I think for them, if Houston were to lose tonight, at least they could fall back on the fact that Matt Castle's won games in this league. Right. You know, he's actually been to the Pro Bowl. He started for Tom Brady in 2008 when Brady went down in the first game and won, 10 or 11 games that year with a great loaded Patriots team. But, you know, he's got a week to prepare, but that's got to be a gut punch. Can you imagine the AFC South title, Tom Savage versus Matt Castle? Just what everybody predicted. I mean, really, if since he wins tonight, that's what you're going to have next week.
Welcome to the AFC South in 2016,
next man up.
Guys.
Next man up.
That's how it works.
Be ready.
There you have it with the injury report. We'll come back and preview next week's game. Week 17, New Year's Day. The Jaguars and the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
GEICO brings you endorsements from the backup to the backup punter.
I'm the backup punter to the backup punter. The only time I'm on the field is when I'm headed to the locker room. Do I get high fives? Nope. Sign autographs? Nuh-uh. My jersey? It's never been washed. I'm just a kicker kicking it on the sidelines. But I did score on my car insurance by switching to GEICO. They saved me money faster than Coach could say, Jenkins, you're in. Even though Coach would never say that.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Bento Cafe brings a unique twist to authentic Asian food and sushi. Founded on the concept of blending a traditional Asian cuisine with a contemporary quick atmosphere, Bento cooks to order and prepares in minutes. Located in the St. John's Town Center and near Tinseltown, Bento Cafe, proud partner of the Jaguars. Do you like live music, holiday events, or local nightlife? Download Intego, Jacksonville's free app to find everything fun to do in the community, showcasing everything from shopping to pet parks. Built in Jacksonville, for Jacksonville. That's Intogo. Download today.
Jaguars fans, are you ready to up your checking game? Game on. The Jaguars Visa debit card, available exclusively at EverBank, is yours free when you open an EverBank Yield Pledge checking account. With your Jaguars Visa debit card, you'll get unlimited ATM reimbursements nationwide when you maintain a minimum average daily balance of $5,000. It's your money. Make the most of it. Visit a financial center near you or find us online at everbank.com/JagsCard. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank, member FDIC.
The kick is up. It's good! It's time for field goals for Firehouse Subs. You could score a free Firehouse Sub when you register at jaguars.com/Firehouse Subs. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, we'll send you a coupon for a free medium sub with purchase of a sub, chips, and a medium drink. Visit jaguars.com/firehousesubs for complete details. It's field goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Subs. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're listening on our flagship station in Jacksonville, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is next. That's also on jaguars.com. And the Jaguars app, and it should be pretty happy today. Jaguars win at 38-17 over the Tennessee Titans. Final moments with Fred Taylor here, and the Jaguars get the Indianapolis Colts next week. Colts are in action right now against the Oakland Raiders. Raiders lead 13-7. The game has 5:50 to go in the second quarter out at the Black Hole, and Oakland has an 11-3 record. The Colts 7-7. They need a win today, and a win over the Jags next week with a Titans win over the Texans, and the Colts would win the division of all things.
They need
the
Texans to lose tonight,
too. Texans tonight, too. That's the one I left out. Yes.
Texans,
right. All
Texans,
of that.
Texans lose out, Colts win out at this point, and then the Colts get in.
That's an easier way to say it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So either way, the Colts, if they win today, they're going to need the game no matter what. Mm-hmm. The Jags didn't really need this game today. They got it done in a great way. Can they carry it over to next week and in week 17 with all that's happened here?
You know, I think they can. I mean, they look great today. I mean, just starting with today, they look great. Playing spoiler, you know, I think if the Texans win, then the Jags will have knocked basically two teams out or helped knock two teams out. If not, they can go do it next week. And that'll make the guys feel great. And then you go back to, man, we could have been doing this all year. And then the questions and the interviews and all this other great stuff for the offseason.
I think what I think Fred's right, though. If that game means something to the Colts, it helps the Jags next week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and because what you hope doesn't happen is you hope they don't feel like, we got that losing streak done. It's snapped. We're not going to hear about an 11-gamer going into the offseason. We played great. You don't want them to feel like they've accomplished something. And they accomplished something today. Do it again next week, and everybody will feel a little bit better heading into the offseason.
Mm-hmm. New Year's Day. 1 o'clock kickoff at Lucas Oil Stadium to wrap up the season. Fred, well done. Have a great week. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you. Likewise, guys. Same.
Good to see you. Jaguars win it 38-17. It was a great win today, Fred. Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tyler Devitt and Linda Fortunato, producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, Mike Dempsey. This is JP Shadrick saying good night. The final score. Jaguars 38, Titans 17 on the Jaguars Radio Network.